Hello. Tonight you are on Chicks Talking Footy, and you're with Beck, Bree and me, Motti. And we also have Tom, who is organising basically all the tech for us to make us sound amazing.
Correct. I'm one of the chicks for tonight.
Oh. There he is.
Hi, Tom.
There's our chick, Tom. Loving it.
Motti, so, I've got a cold. I'm calling it cold awareness. You know last year all the injuries were awareness?
Oh, the hamstring awareness.
Yes. Yeah. I've got cold awareness, just so you all know.
And is that throat and nose awareness?
It's mainly nose. I'm pretty aware of my nose right now.
Okay, right.
Anyway. Thanks for letting us know and the listeners because they're thrilled by that.
I feel like it's good, to be honest.
It is. So we're a footy show and also with a slightly medical angle to it tonight. So if you have any footy things you want us to talk about or any sort of medical stuff. I used to be a nurse 150 years ago, so I'm very good with that sort of stuff. You can contact us on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. We've got round 12 to talk about. We have got an interview with Emma Quayle, who you may recall was an age journalist for many years and now works within the GWS Giants bunker. So we'll have a good chat to her about that. I myself, Motti, have got a mysterious new segment, No Warning.
Yes, looking forward to that, Motti.
A few things I love more than when Motti comes up with his new segment. Because you never know, do you, Breezy?
Get a tat was good.
Could be the greatest or worst thing that's ever happened
well,
to this show.
Well, get a tat. How long did that last? I think I got 3 weeks out of that.
What was your other one? I've forgotten.
Oh, let's... Anyway.
Not that memorable.
So, anyway, let's get on with the game, shall we?
Yes.
Richmond and Geelong on Friday night. Geelong won by a lot.
Yes, a lot.
What are our takeaways from that?
Shall I start?
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
How do you feel about it, Bree? How were your emotions on Friday night? Where were you at?
You'll appreciate this. Footy's starting to hurt again.
Oh, Bree.
Oh, no. You better take a holiday.
I better take a holiday.
There,
yeah, it's starting to hurt again. That loss hurt. And
I barrack for Essendon, so footy's hurt for quite a long time.
Bree, what do you do when you feel hurt about the footy? Do you cry? Do you get mad? Do you throw things?
Yeah, anger's my first emotion.
Yep, good.
Angry at my own team.
Yep.
Not the opposition, just my own team.
Yep.
Not your cat?
Not my cat, no. I don't throw things. No, I internalise a little bit and I won't watch the replay. That's a ritual. If we lose, I do not watch the replay. Is that what you guys do?
Well, I barely watch the replay, although my dad did make me watch it on Sunday morning, which I'll talk about later, but I'm not a replay person. Like, I know what happened.
I'm not either. Some of the guys at work, you know, did you watch the replay, Suze? I said, no. And I said, I went to the game and they like, yeah, but you've got to go home and... They go home and watch the replay straight away as if they're still 12.
Exactly. I watch it at least 3 times if we've won.
I mean,
There you go. Okay, I should introduce you to my friends at work.
Yeah, I'm okay. You could all.
So anyway, another poor loss for the Tigers and they're losing badly. But Geelong, they're good and they're 2 games clear on top.
I've got 2 questions. One, do you think Richmond's problem is just their injuries or do they have bigger problems?
No, they've got bigger problems. The one thing that stands out to me is we're no longer resilient. When we're challenged.
You capitulate, as they say in the classics.
But if you've got 10 of your best players, and I'm just plucking 10 out, and they're the ones who always lead the charge, how can you be resilient as when you're with them?
Yeah, we probably can't. But, you know, we talk about and the coach talks about everyone playing their role and coming in and filling that gap. So everyone's always going to have injuries. Richmond don't want to use that as an excuse.
Bro, you've got so many gaps. I think you'll be playing for them this week.
Yes, I'm ready to line up, Beck.
Excellent.
Well, she needs a new captain because Cochin, Riewoldt, Rance and Edwards have all captained the Tigers this year and are all out.
Yes.
Dustin Martin will captain them this week.
Bye-bye, Dusty.
Bye-bye, Dusty is what we can say.
Next week.
Carlton, Brisbane.
Oh, Carlton won.
I know.
Bless.
Teague's boys won.
I thought that was nice. You know me, I get sucked in by emotion and feelings.
You do.
Yeah, I thought it was nice.
That all? You just thought nice?
Yeah, I just thought it was nice. So I was like, oh, that's cute for them.
Yeah, and Cripps is just an absolute gun.
He's 24.
Yeah.
When I was 24, I could barely tie my own freaking shoelaces.
He's a midfielder. Like, 20 years ago, he would have been, you know, a ruckman or a full forward
Something.
Like
right.
He's taller than Nick Riewoldt.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah. I looked at something the other day. Gary Rowan is the same height as Brian Taylor.
Yeah.
And Gary Rowan is a small forward. And Brian Taylor was a, you know, centre-half or forward.
Yeah. I mean, what's height? It's just a number.
Hey, this is where people come for the fascinating facts, don't they? Chicks
it
talking
is.
Footy.
Height comparisons with Susanna Mott.
30 years ago till today. I mean, these are fascinating things I can let you in on.
Can I tell you what is fascinating, though? Three
yes.
games this year have been coached by caretaker coaches, all wins.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something else interesting?
What?
Cam Rayner was on our show last week. And what did we say to him, Bree? Carlton have sat their coach. You better be careful, Cam Rayner. And what happened? Brisbane
they lost.
So we know everything is the moral of that
and
story.
Not only that, poor old Cam did not have a good game.
No, he
no,
did not.
He didn't. Awkward, isn't
no,
it?
No, orcs, isn't it? But on to caretaker coach number two, the match between Gold Coast and North Melbourne.
Well, Reece Shaw, 2 for 2. Not bad.
They can still make finals. They're, I think, a game and a half outside the eight.
Everyone must be able to nearly make finals,
I was going to say,
can't they?
Could, like... Chicks Talking Footy could make finals, Bree, by that
But we're
logic.
Not in... No, we're not in the competition. We can't make finals.
Bree. You're such a stickler, aren't you?
Okay, Bree. Oh,
fact,
if
fact,
North
fact.
Melbourne make the finals, I'm going to give you
$300. Okay. Everyone,
write that
you
down.
Heard,
hang on.
Everyone heard this on air.
I did. And speaking of dollars, I've neglected to say it's the Joy Donation Drive 2019 going on at the moment. So if you are looking for somewhere to put your extra cash and you're sick of your pockets... Mm. Just pop it in the Joy pocket.
Correct.
Joy.org.au.
Much like Johan from Cremorne who made a donation.
Well
Thank
done,
you. Johan.
Actually, Brad, take it back. I'm going to give $300 to Joy if North Melbourne make the finals.
Oh,
I've just taken
I'm
it
just
off you.
Poorer. Okay. Go Joy.
Yeah, exactly. You've just lost one and lost 300 in the space of 10 seconds.
I feel like we're on a safe bet though, Joy. Mm. I reckon North can make it.
Oh, God. Good news, though. Taryn Thomas, Rising Star. Third kangaroo to get the Rising Star this year, which
yes.
I think bodes well for the future. And what else do we learn about Taryn Thomas this week, Money?
We learned that the two worst things he hates about Melbourne are traffic and parking fines.
Hmm.
He's from Tasmania, obviously, where there are no
cars
or traffic, and he's found himself getting a lot of parking fines.
Can I tell you, living, I do live near Arden Street Oval, and it is terrible for parking, so I don't blame him for getting a few fines. Sometimes you just got to park where you want.
Well, I find it weird that he hasn't got a park.
What, do you think yeah. they have?
Do
the
why
players
do they have to
not?
Pay?
The, why do the Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to find that out this week. I'm going to get onto a couple of clubs and I'm going to find out if players get car parks. We know coaches do
yeah.
because. Our friend, the Carlton...
Daniel Harford
told yeah. us that he's got a car park.
But Ash Brown...
Did not have a car park.
Did not have a car park. Then you
Richmond players park at Punt Road. They get a park.
Do you yeah. know they've got... Do they have an assigned park?
But there's
I
also...
I don't think they've got Dusty's name on Dusty's...
Now, you know what? Say what you like about Chicks Talking Footy, but we do cover the big
there's
issues.
There's also 3,500 car parks at Punt Road.
There's not enough.
So there's plenty
street.
Of room.
All right,
anyway,
I'm finding
look,
out.
Look at that. We're through to the first break.
I'm Rory from Minus 18 and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You are. Thank you very much, Rory. It's me, Motti, and with me is Beck and Breeza. And on we go with round 12.
Yes, we do.
Adelaide, Greater Western Sydney.
Oh, can I tell you guys, I had a grand old time at the football on Saturday night in Adelaide. Because, you know, last week I said I was getting a bit, you know, downtrodden, upset, saddened. Depressed. No, this week I'm back. I'm back with a vengeance. We had a great win against GWS. First half, very evenly matched. Second half, GWS played a hell of a lot better. Last quarter, the Crows really rallied, came back. Tex Walker was the Tex Walker of old.
We've been waiting for that for a long, long time.
Yeah, we have.
There was a moment in the last quarter where he crushed this pack, took a mark, kicked a goal, and I have not seen the crowd, the Adelaide crowd, get that excited for a long time. Like, everyone stood up. There was something about that win, and I actually don't know what it was. And I said to my mum and dad, have I just not been to Adelaide Oval for a while? But they said no, there was something really quite emotional about it. Like, I don't know whether it was because we'd had a couple of close losses and all those sorts of things. But when everyone was singing the song at the end, it was the loudest I'd heard it in years.
I turned it on probably... with 20 minutes to go in that fourth quarter, and there was even watching it on the television, I was like, no, there's something different here. You could tell Texas body language was different. It really felt a completely different Adelaide.
And he really kind of led it too. And it was quite – him and Phil Davis were having a couple of little altercations down in the back line, which I quite enjoyed because Tex was kind of, you know, roughing him up a bit.
Giving him a niggle.
That's right. Roy Sloan played like an absolute hero.
Yep.
Eddie Betts, who I've been trying to get rid of for the last 3 weeks, of course, kicked some miraculous goal. Fine, whatever, it's good.
I've never seen anything like that goal. It was so good.
But he just makes it look like nothing. The Crouch brothers, who I love –
Riley O'Brien, he had a ripper game.
Well, we've got a real ruck crisis now, and it's a good crisis because Sam Jacobs is one of the best rucks in the AFL, has been out for, I think, 6-8 weeks now with injury. And when he went out, we all went, oh, shit, we don't have anyone to replace him. Turns out we did have Riley O'Brien all the time. And now it's just we're not quite sure what to do. So the Crows are going in unchanged this week. They haven't brought Jacobs back in, which was really interesting. So,
well, you couldn't drop him after that performance.
But what, O'Brien. Like, when do you? When do you bring back one of the best rucks in the competition?
Well, when he starts to tire. He's young,
I guess. Yeah. But
she's always got, she you does, know, just she? Sensible so fact backs things up with Fraser. She's not emotional like you.
Just me and my feelings. I'm just like, but what about sores? How will he feel? It was quite fun. I went to the football with my family. We did watch the replay on Sunday morning break.
There you go. I'm pleased.
And we sat around and I made everyone in my family, my mum, my dad and my brother, tell me who their top three Crows players were as people and their top three players as players. And I swear to God, it took the entire game because everyone in my family takes games like that so seriously. Like, to watch my mum toss up whether she thought Rory Sloan or Eddie Betts was a better person for about an hour was worth watching.
Oh, and
we'd like to see the
welcome to the
secret footage of that next time.
Oh, mate.
Now, Sydney West Coast.
Oh, another upset. This was a great game, actually. I really enjoyed watching this one. Best game by the Swans by far all season.
They won by a stack, really, in the end.
They really did.
Because like 45 points or something.
They've been somewhat unimpressive, I feel.
Yeah, and especially at home.
Yeah.
And
couldn't pick their nose.
Chicks Talking Footy should take all the credit for Lance Franklin's form, Bechdel.
I swear to God, Bree, as soon as we write people off, they come back. This is just like in the AFLW when I said Taylor Harris was gone.
That's right.
And should never play again.
Okay, I'm going to write off 5 Essendon players and hopefully they'll have BOG next week.
You should, yeah.
Just write off the whole team.
Great game by Buddy.
They're doing that.
And Buddy's goal after the siren, how good was that? Yeah,
that I love really Buddy. Yeah. I've said it before and I do love
too.
Him.
I like watching him.
Feel very strongly for him.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
Good to know. Collingwood v Melbourne.
Well.
Yes.
Can we talk about things off field?
Yes.
Can we talk about the big freeze at the G and the slide? And can we talk about Nick Riewoldt as Freddie Mercury? Was that not the greatest thing you've ever seen?
The best.
I mean, I love Nick Riewoldt like a lot.
Anyway.
But that was spectacular.
Oh, God.
Because they all get into their costumes and you're like, lol, that's funny. But that was a whole performance.
He did the proper research. He clearly had watched that Live Aid performance more than once.
Because he had the whole microphone.
Every little bit of movement was exactly right.
Yeah. The best part I saw on AFL 360 last night, they had the camera on Jack Riewoldt when it was happening and Jack was losing it. He thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. So that was great. And, I mean, amazing millions of dollars, you know, being raised.
Yeah,
it's over $50 million, I think,
total.
Probably more this year. I think that's an example of when the AFL got it right. They got it right, you know, by allowing Freeze at the G to happen and to be such a big thing. They also got it right, or maybe Melbourne Football Club did, with Brad Green's two little boys running out after their mum tragically died suddenly very recently. That's just so sad.
So sad.
What, like, if you want to really have some feelings, watch that video.
Oh, it's just awful.
This is two videos I've watched this week on the Melbourne Instagram. One, Brad Green's kids. The other one, Neil Danaher addressing the players. So you can only imagine the sobbing mess I've been all week.
And then I flicked that on and then I go, yet Melbourne could only kick 57 points off the back of those two things.
I know.
Melbourne.
Awkward, isn't it?
Anyway, as we talk about the Queen's birthday on Monday, there were the Queen's birthday honours, and one of our friends of the show, Peggy O'Neill, received a brilliant honour, so we'll have a little listen to an interview with her.
I'm very pleased and honoured to have been selected for the Order of Australia. And it was very moving to think that behind the scenes, people have been working on this application and have been doing it on my behalf. And so I admit I shed a tear or two. I must say that when I moved here 30 years ago now, it never occurred to me that I would be recognized in this way or that I would be involved in so many things in Australia that I feel so strongly about and I care so much about. So I think as a person who's moved to this country and taken out citizenship, that to be recognized in this way is very meaningful to me. The citation, as I recall, for three things. It was for services to Australian rules football, to services to superannuation financial services law, and to promoting women in leadership roles. Everyone, I think, knows that law is my vocation and love practicing law. So that's my vocation, but I think that I'm most proud of the other things that you do because you just love them. Australian rules football, when I moved here, I had no idea what that was. And to find myself in the position of being president of the Richmond Football Club, I never would have thought about. And being part of a premiership year after not having won a premiership in so long, I don't know if there's any highlight greater than that. And the role of women in society has been a long time interest and concern of mine, and I think that being recognized for what you've done to promote the cause of women and their status in society is very, very meaningful to me. Working with the state government on the inquiry into women and girls in sport and active recreation and seeing the outcomes of that, the additional money that's come for facilities, for pathways for women into administrative roles, and to the establishment of the Women in Sport in Victoria. I was really proud of the small role I played in that, but to see that something concrete has happened from all that work, I think is very rewarding for me. So to have the community aspect recognized as well as the professional aspect, I think makes this all the more important to me. The Australia Day Honours has been trying for years to say women are doing great things out there and we want to see them nominated. So I hope that by seeing more women receive these awards, that people realise the great contribution in all sorts of ways that women make to Australian society, both professionally and through community work. So I think that I'm just an example of women who are doing great things out there. So I hope this leads to a lot more people being nominated.
How good is Peggy O'Neill?
She's incredible, Moddy. A well-deserved honour. And as a Richmond member, I'm very grateful for her leadership of the Richmond Football Club.
You know what I always think of when I think of Peggy O'Neill, which I do often? Firstly, I think about her great contribution to football. And second, I think about when she came into the studio and Bree dusted the front counter of Joy to try and impress her.
That's true. I did do a clean up, didn't I?
You know. And she's never been back, so obviously your dusting's not up to scratch.
No, she has. She's been back a couple of times. Yeah,
but I mean, they're the two things that come to mind.
But I just wanted to play it because I think it's not necessarily just about Peggy. It's about here's a woman doing great things, and hopefully that inspires other young women and men around them. So that's it. Without further ado, my friends.
Oh, this is a new mystery segment.
There is a new mystery segment.
I'm excited.
It's called No Warning.
Okay.
And it is off the back of the one of the most annoying phrases any commentators can ever make.
Okay. Oh, just a question without notice.
We love that, don't we?
Thus, I'm giving you no warning. I've changed the name loosely. Okay. So, question one.
Do we both answer? Or
yes.
How does it work?
It's for you both. And you can say next if you don't like it or pass or something. But who is the next coach in trouble?
Ooh.
You can tell listeners that they have not heard of these questions before. So,
in trouble, or do you think they're just the merry-go-round?
Who's the next coach to be sacked?
Your coach, Moddy.
Okay, so you're saying Worsfold, saying?
I think there could be a change at the Swans.
Okay, I think Goodwin from Melbourne, he's gone.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Okay, footy food. Are you a traditional type, like pie or hot dog? Or do you like the new fancy stuff like sushi, wraps, pulled pork rolls?
Literally, does anyone like the fancy stuff? Not one person. Not get a hot dog in my mouth any day,
yeah,
Susanna.
I'm with Beck. I'm a hot dog person.
Great, me too. So, end of season trip.
Oh.
Are you a party trip person like Bali? or are you cultural, like Japan?
I'm 100% Bali.
Hmm.
100%.
Yeah, if it's a footy trip, I'd be in Bali too.
I think
Vegas.
Well, I reckon this is the split. Degoey type people go to Bali.
Yep.
Brody Grundy type people go to Japan.
Oh, Brody Grundy is 100% going to Japan. Oh,
yeah.
And then uploading some odd Instagram photos of him doing something.
I want to go to Las Vegas with Dusty and Swanee.
Oh, okay. Brie, we'd never see you again.
I'll let them know.
Okay.
Now, if you played footy, what would your position be?
Oh.
And where should I play?
I played, Moddy, and I was a small half forward and I had number 17.
Did you? Morris Rioli?
Yep, Morris Rioli was my number.
I think I'd be the bench warmer because I'm very uncoordinated. I can't run very fast.
What would I play?
Where would you play, Moddy?
I think you could be like a glamour centre half forward.
I think so.
Yeah.
Trevor Barker like type.
Yeah, or Warwick Kappa.
Trevor Barker.
Warwick
Kappa.
Warwick Kappa.
You know, people used to call me Leif Garrett, so that is all in that vibe, isn't it?
They're all of the same genre.
I can't be Ruck because that's Rachel.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're right.
No, I think you're a glamour centre half forward. Okay.
Very good. How do you think the new segment's going?
I think it's going great. I love it. Never enjoyed anything more.
Okay. Who would you rather go to the footy with? Brian Taylor, Eddie Maguire, or Jeff Kennett? And you have to say one.
BT, because I just feel like Eddie would just annoy me too much and Jeff would, there'd be a lot of Hawthorn. And I'd just run away. I'd just pretend I was going to the toilet and just go to the bar and never come back.
Yeah, I agree with Beck.
Bree was, I just wish we had camera vision or something in here because Bree was so seriously thinking of that.
So thinking of the lesser evil.
I don't know.
That's why it's a perfectly crafted question.
It's a great question.
Isn't it? There'll be one of those every week.
Yeah.
Scarf, beanie or jumper or all three and why?
Oh, I'm a scarf lady generally because beanies just like really don't work with my hair that well and it makes me look bald. I just don't think that's a great look for me. And jumpers because I'm a larger busted woman. Men's football jumpers do not really fit.
Borderline pornographic, as you always say.
Correct. I'm a beanie person. Yep. And a scarf, actually. I don't mind a scarf as
well. I look terrible in a beanie and I have never owned a football jumper, so
really?
I just wear my scarf.
Hmm.
How's that?
You can borrow one of mine, Moddy.
No, thank you. if you don't mind me colouring in the sash red.
Yeah, that's right.
Imagine that if Breeza came back and I'd put red camera tape all down the sash. On her
You've got to do it. You've got to do it.
Do that. That's excellent.
What else? I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. No, that's
that it.
That's it. So you're with Chicks Talking Footy. What an amazing new segment has been launched tonight. No warning.
Seriously, if you've got a question for No Warning, SMS in 0427JOY949.
And off we go.
I'm keen as mustard for this deal. Mustard or sauce? What do you have on your hot dog? Both. Trick question.
Yeah. And I just have sauce only on a pie because no one else has anything on that.
No.
So the pie must have meat inside. It can't be one of those
chicken,
meatless
no.
pies.
No. And I tell you what, I don't trust someone who doesn't have any sauce on a pie. Wrong.
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
No, I don't like sauce on pies.
Okay, get out of my house. Okay. You're with Chicks Talking Footy. We'll be back shortly speaking with Emma Quayle. Hi, this is Motti. You're listening to me on Chicks Talking Footy. You are. Here is me, Motti, Bree, Beck. Beck's got a couple of donations to read out.
I do. We are in our donation drive. We've had $50 from Rodney at Caulfield South. Thank you, Rodney. We've had $15 from Richie in Adelaide. Oh, one of my people. Thanks, Richie. And we've had, $100 from Bradley from Kohuna?
Kahuna.
Where's Kahuna?
It's near Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
No. Come on. Kahuna, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you. Come on. Play that.
That's where we are at.
Now back to serious football talk on Chicks Talking Footy. You may know Emma Quayle's name from her previous life as a football journalist for The Age, but she is now firmly entrenched in clubland as recruiter and content contributor for the GWS Giants. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Emma.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure. So let's cut to it. You'd been a sports journo for over 15 years prior to joining GWS. Did they come searching for you? How did that come about?
Oh, it's hard to remember now. It was a couple of years ago, but you're right. I'd been at The Age for a long time and was writing a lot of stories about the draft and draft prospects, and I was always really interested in that area of the game. So I think it was sort of a mutual thing. I was keen to go to a club if something came up and have a go at it. And the Giants were also keen to get me in. So, yeah, it was a good match in the end.
Emma, so You were the first person that I recall to have crossed over from reporting on players and clubs to actually working within a club. Was it an easy transition, or was there a lot more that you learned along the way?
I definitely learned a lot. It was fairly smooth. I guess, like, having worked in footy while I was a journo, I knew people and had gotten to know them over the years, and so I kind of had an idea of how it all worked and what it would be like. But yeah, as you know, it's like a completely different thing to jump in and actually have to do it. That's been good though. Sort of familiar but unfamiliar at the same time. So lots to learn, but I felt confident going over there that I'd be able to contribute something and make it worth their while as well.
Emma, how did the skills that you developed as a journalist help you in, I guess, your role as a recruiter and then also as your role as a content contributor?
Yeah, well, I do bits and pieces for the club website. I did a podcast series last year and this year as well, just talking to different people, trying to record a little bit of the club history, I suppose. It's only a young club, as you know, and so it's good to just get some stuff down and, publish that kind of document where the club has come from and what the people who've played a part in building it have actually done. But, yeah, I spent, most of my time recruiting, obviously, and I think, as a journalist, you get used to talking to people and trying to find out information, and I'm still doing that, but it's really just trying to find out as much as I can about all the kids that we're looking at, just trying to work out what their personality's like, what makes them tick, how they kind of function, so that we can use that to form our view on them as a complete package, and also pass that info on to the coaches once we do pick some players, so that they have a fair idea of what they're working with when the boys get to the footy club. And I think that's really important, just having that process in place, so that we're not just saying, here you go, here's some new players, figure them out. We can hopefully give them some information and give them a good idea of what they've got to work with.
When you're set out to recruit players, do the club say to you, we are looking for two inside mids, we want, a nuggety person to play in the back line, we want a high flyer? Do they give you absolute specifics, or do you just come back and say, we've got 10 picks, these are the 10 best people we think?
Oh, it's a collaborative sort of thing for sure. Like, list manager, recruiting manager, the recruiting scouts, everyone is sort of contributing to their, that sense of what we need, who we need, what positions are important to fill. And that just happens gradually, I think, as the year unfolds, as some players already on our list come on, others maybe don't come on, and so spots emerge. And obviously with the Giants, each year for the last few years, there's been a handful of players go out as well, which has opened up some gaps. So it's not as if there's a directive from the coaches to say, you must pick these sorts of players. It's just to and fro, and obviously you need to pick players that you think the coaches will like to work with and will find a spot in the team for, because ultimately you want everyone that you pick to play for you. So, it's just an ongoing conversation, I guess.
Emma, often when, I guess, we're thinking about recruiting as people that aren't in the industry, I think, clubs look at stats, at speed, at agility, skill, all those kind of things. But are the things you were talking about before, I guess, the things about what kind of person they are, what makes them tick, is that something that's not as important as being a good player, but valued highly at the club too, to understand that side of people? And is that important, what kind of person they are?
I think it's really important. Yeah, it's a really, really tough game that they want to come and play. So you've got to try and figure out as best you can how you think they'll cope with it, what support they'll need, how they might go being away from their family. If you move someone from Perth to Sydney, it's a long way. They're not going to get home as often as a Melbourne kid. So how will they go with that? And some of it's just completely unknowable, because you're putting them into such a brand new environment. Something that they've always wanted to do, but that, they've never sort of been close to. So but the more people you speak to, I think you can get a pretty full picture of what they're like and what they're like to coach, what they're like to work with, what stresses them out, what sort of leadership they have shown at school, in their footy club. So, one we say, we talk about character being really important. It's not just whether they're a good kid or a bad kid. I think it's just how they function, how they operate.
I guess in some ways there's an element of rolling the dice too. There's just, there's, as you say, those unknowns that you just go, we think we know as much as we can about this kid, but we've just got to go with it.
Yeah, ultimately, I suppose the recruiting manager is the one who's got to like make the call in the end. You can't pick two players at each pick, unfortunately. That's one thing I've figured out. but, yeah, I think if you know as much as you think you can possibly know, then you can feel confident that you know what you're getting. But, yeah, they are only 18, so they're still pretty young.
Exactly. I mean, I was, you know, I was not doing anything 18, worthwhile at 18 at all. So if you'd come and assessed me as a footballer, that would be, yeah, you'd be very disappointed in the Susanna Mott of aged 18.
But look how far you've come.
But look at me now, exactly. But it's obviously quite a nerve-wracking position for you. Maybe in both your journalists, I used to read your, you know, here are the top 10 draft, you know, fancies, here are the, I loved all your draft stuff at the age. What would you say, did you get more right than wrong? Like, what were the some of the ones that you went, yep, that person is definitely going to be a champ, and they turned out that way?
Oh, I can't remember now. There's probably as many wrong as right, but...
Well, give us some wrong ones then.
I actually can't even think off the top what they would be. When you're, like, coming into this job, it's just interesting because as a journo, like, you never actually have to make a decision on these things. Like, you can have opinions on everybody else's decision, whether they got it right or wrong, but you actually never have to make a call. So, yeah, I've certainly figured that out coming across where it's like an actual decision has to be made here. Like I said before, you can't unfortunately take two or three players at one pick and hope that one of them turns out. You've got to make a call. So,
you're
being actually fun.
I'm reading into this that it's all care, no responsibility as a journo, is it, Emma?
No, I wouldn't say that. I can't say that.
No, Emma Quayle did not say that. I said that.
Emma, I've got a question that I've been burning to ask someone that works at GWS. Bright orange, why is that a colour choice and how does it feel to have to wear it?
I don't have the best skin tone for orange, but I'm trying to make it work as best I can.
I quite enjoy it.
I actually like the orange.
It's a bit like high viz.
It is a little bit. Someone said that to me once when I turned up somewhere in a club polo shirt. They look like I should be working on a road somewhere. But I really like our Guernsey. I think the orange and the charcoal look really good out there on the player. So
I like the charcoal. Unique. The charcoal accent. I think it's actually is quite classy.
What?
Yeah, accent? I think it's
it's what you call a colour when there's a bit choice of colour.
Oh, do
colour.
You?
An accent.
An accent. Mm. Oh, goodness.
Flash of white as well.
Uh-huh. Emma, Bree here. just in terms of your 2018 draftees, we've seen Jackson Hatley so far. Who else is close to a debut for the Giants?
They're all tracking along okay in the NEFL. Unfortunately, Xavier O'Halloran, who was one of our picks, just got a bit of an injury on the weekend, so he's going to be out for a few weeks, but he was playing really well. We've got Jai Caldwell, he's got an injury as well. He was our first pick, so he's had a bit of an interrupted start, but they're just trying to get his body all sorted out so that he's hopefully good for another decade. Connor Iden was a late pick. He's been playing some good footy down back, which is good. Kieran Briggs is a forward ruck, and he's been doing the same, just sort of finding his feet in the NEFL team. And Bobby Hill was one of our picks as well. He's a small forward. He had his best game on the weekend, actually. Just was showing off a few of his party tricks and putting on some good pressure, which was really good to see. So hopefully someone else can push in there sooner rather than later.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the success of all those 2018 draftees and look forward to seeing who you pick next year. Thank you, Emma Quayle, for joining us on Chicks Talking Footy.
No worries at all. Thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Matt Finnis, CEO of the Saints, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on 94.9 Joy FM.
And it's a very exciting time of the night because it's the dinner table.
Dinner.
Dim the lights, please, Tom. Put the background music on. It's dinner table time.
Dinner table chat.
Starring Beck, Bree and Marty.
Wow. Okay. We've really taken this show to a new level.
We have lots of singing on this show.
Oh, yes. Then there's more to come. Now, I've got something to put to you, ladies.
Oh, yes, Susanna. Go ahead, please, caller.
We all love Bob Murphy, don't we?
Oh, we do.
We do, actually. Oh, you know who doesn't love Bob Murphy?
Not the question. Who doesn't love Bob Murphy?
Okay. My dad. So, last week, Bob Murphy said on radio that GWS would beat the Crows by 75 points. Do you think for the entire next day after the game, my dad said once, he said 100 times, bloody Bob Murphy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Thank you, Michael Dahl.
So, Michael Dahl, not a fan of Bob Murphy.
All right, let's start again. We all love Bob Murphy, don't we?
We do.
Great. I'm trying to do a front bar type intro. It's not working.
Yeah. We love
you
Bob.
You two are meant
to
go with me.
Yeah, we love Bob. Moddy.
Yeah, we love him.
Okay, great. Well, as an ode to the wonderful Bob Murphy, who does a segment on another radio show called Bobservations.
Oh, because it's like Bob and observations
together. Yes.
Love it.
I thought we might name our courses in the dinner table. I mean, this is nearly as good as No Warning, let's face it.
That's a high bridge to climb. But
tonight we will be having Bexervations, Motservations and Breservations.
That's actually that's better than any segment you've ever come up with. I think you've really hit the mark.
Nailed it. Great. Nailed it.
Okay, entree, thank you.
That's a Bexervation. My Bexervation, friends, is about crowd behaviour at the AFL. Is it just me or do you feel like there are a lot of stories coming out about people being ejected from the ground?
Oh, there's definitely a lot of stories.
It's not just you.
This week, a Carlton fan, who should have been having a good time because his team finally won for once in their lives, was kicked out of the MCG for calling the umpire, quote, a bald-headed flog, end quote. Flog. It's not a word you hear often, is it? The AFL have said that he has been received a warning and no further action will be taken, but he was kicked out of the ground. There was another one where a Richmond cheer squad member was evicted for calling an umpire a green maggot.
And he got 3 games.
He did.
But by Richmond. That was a Richmond sanction, not an AFL sanction.
Yeah, your mates, right. Bree. But the stories that came out this week that were quite interesting was there is a number of people saying that they had had security come and talk to them for cheering loudly and being too loud at their cheering. Now, God help the security that comes near me at the footy, but there was like quite a lot of stories, people calling in Talkback Radio on Twitter saying that this was the new thing and that the AFL was trying to cut down on cheering, which, I mean,
that sounds terrible.
Sounds bizarre. But the AFL's come out with a statement today that says, amongst other things, for over 100 years, the footy has been a place to come together, barrack, cheer and share in the experience in whichever way you choose. There has been no directive from the AFL to change this. While barracking supporting is both strongly encouraged and a vital part of the game, offensive or aggressive behaviour will not be tolerated. So I think the AFL's clearly picked up on the public unrest that people think they're not allowed to cheer anymore and made it clear that's not what they're trying to do. But I think important for them to say that, you know, homophobia, racism, abuse, all that side of stuff, not cool.
No, not cool. There's definitely a line and you don't want to cross it. Otherwise, you'll be kicked out.
Correct. It'll be interesting to see whether this week there are any more reports of people saying security's getting into them for cheering. I mean, look, who knows? People say whatever they want when they want their side of the story to be heard.
Do you think finally someone's actually acted on the if you see unsociable behaviour, text this number.
I know.
It's been on the screens for 10 years and finally people have started to use it.
Well, yeah. But look, I think there's some behaviour at the football that does have to be called out. I don't like swearing. No. I do not like swearing at the football.
Yeah, and I don't like sitting next to really
loud people.
Really loud people and people who have had too much to drink.
Yes, that's another
one. I've had a beer poured down my back before. It is not pleasant.
No. But it's but sanctioning people and telling them that you are allowed to use these words and not those words. I think it's odd that it's all just bubbled to this or shot to the surface now. I think there's some letters gone out to everyone and said, right, you must now
I agree.
Clamp down on these things. It's too weird that it's reared its ugly head very quickly.
Despite the fact the AFL's come out and said today there's been no directive, I think it might not have been from them, but it's been from someone.
Something has to have happened because this wave doesn't start by itself.
Absolutely.
Does it?
So anyway, look, crowd behaviour, guys, watch this space.
Thank you very much for your Bexervation. I look forward to next week. I now take on the Motservation.
Yes, you do.
Bob appreciates it. I hope I hear him quoting, you know, his new segment, No Warning or something. I wouldn't mind if he did.
If Bob Murphy starts a segment called No Warning, I will donate $500 to Joy.
Our Joy listeners heard that, Bechdel.
Someone tell Bob Murphy, quick. Okay. Gambling. That is my motivation. Because that gambling has also jumped to the surface. Gambling within the AFL has jumped to the surface again after an article in the Herald Sun on the weekend quoting a lady called Jan Beams, who is a therapist of some sort in this field. She's a gambling counsellor. She's worked with lots of different people, one of which is David Schwartz, and he swears by her. She said some things. Patrick Dangerfield was unhappy with what she said, some of what she said. AFL Players Association, some, they're all a little bit unhappy. They're saying that she's talked about players and she shouldn't have and stuff. She's not named anyone. That, to me, is sort of beside the point in a way, because gambling is an addiction and it does exist. So to start fighting over who said, you shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have said that, I think that's missing the point. What do we think about the fact that gambling is a problem with players, you know, some players, yet the AFL get a huge amount, or AFL and subsidiaries get a huge amount of money from gambling companies?
It's incongruous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think AFL players are rife for, well, they're ripe, I guess, for gambling problems. They're young men with a lot of free time and a lot of cash and a lot of exposure to sport.
And we're not saying, I mean, that if you had a young men in any field, or and young women as well, but
of course.
It's generally more men. Any field that had that, they'd do that. This is not targeted to AFL players by any means.
But also the other thing is that within AFL media and circles and whatever we all see, gambling is everywhere. Like, you think we print off our information for this show, you go to the results page on the AFL website and it has the odds of every game there. Yeah. Every single time you watch the footy on TV, you get what's his name from Sportsbet and, you know, all these sorts of things. So if the AFL really wants to come out and say, we don't want this problem for our players, we want to fix it, I think they've got to fix all that stuff too.
Because there's things that says the official gambling partner of the AFL.
Yeah.
Mm. Sorry, you can't do that and then... You know, I think it's scary, and I think it's like it's an addiction, as is, you know, drinking, as is food addiction, as is
smoking,
all those things. And
I think the added layer of complexity too is young people and young men want to feel like they belong, and I think in club and sporting environments they have a lot of like punter clubs or syndicates that they want to be a part of and join and for that sense of belonging. And, yeah, I think it's a culture that breeds that culture sometimes.
Because if you're a young player, like if you've come into a club and one of the senior players says, oh, I want to put, you know, $1,000 in our punters club for the year, you're not going to go, oh, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Because you want to be involved.
And they also, there's not a god complex, but they, you know, these are kids that have been told their bees knees for all their life, and they live a cloistered life.
And have more money than they've ever had. So the AFL, I think, needs to do something.
I wonder what that is. Now,
haven't got that far.
No. We've got a minute for the Breecevation.
Oh, yes, Breecevation's just a quick one for dessert, and I guess it's a question and then I'll answer it for you.
A rhetorical
reservation. So is finishing on top of the ladder a poison chalice for Geelong?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
So recent history suggests that in the past 18 years, so since 2000, there have only been 6 years in which the team that's finished first has then gone on to be premiers.
Six out of how many?
18.
So one third.
Yeah.
It's not a great stat, is it?
No.
You know, I don't know a lot about stats, but that's not a great one.
No, not a great
one. Well, you know that's not good.
So Geelong currently sit 2 games clear on top of the ladder.
I mean, that being said, though, there's a whole lot of season to go.
Yes.
I mean, North Melbourne are going to make the finals, Bree, if you're to be believed. So.
Yes, that's true. And in fairness to Geelong, actually, they were one of the teams that finished first and went on to be premiers in 2007.
Oh.
Just for a fun fact.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what happened in 2017.
Was that a minute, Monty?
Yeah, you did very well.
Excellent.
Hi, Phil Davis here from the Giants, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy.
It's Chicks Talking Footy, as Phil said, and you're with me, Motty, Bree, Beck. And we've got Tom making us sound technically fabulous as well. So, round 13, my friends, is upon us. We start on Thursday night with Adelaide v Tigers.
Oh, we're playing each other, Beck. It's not the grand final replay.
Oh, okay. Let's bring that up, Bree. Jeez. You know what's really great when you have like a personal trauma and then your friends raise it at every bloody given moment? Can I say two things? One is I hate these mid-season break rounds where there's only six games. Hate it.
Yeah.
Also, I hate when my team plays on Thursday night because then my whole weekend feels like a desolate wasteland. Anyway.
I've got a number of someone you can go to and talk about that. Maybe Jan Beams can assist you.
Oh, yeah, she with that gambling lady.
With your problems.
Breezer, I'm actually worried about how many injuries that Richmond have because I reckon when teams are that behind the wall, that's very concerning.
Yeah, we've got backs firmly against the wall tomorrow.
I think it's
night,
an Adelaide win for me at the Adelaide Oval.
I hope it is too.
Yeah.
Moddy, can I just give you some breaking news?
Yes.
We've had a message in.
Yes.
Good evening, chicks. Great to hear you interview with Emma Quayle, especially after the Peggy O'Neill piece. Well done. Also, surprisingly, I don't think surprisingly, I enjoyed the on-the-fly feel of Moddy's new no-warning segment. Then, Moddy, this lovely listener, Joe, has given you some suggested questions.
Wow. Unreal. Don't read them.
No, I'm not going to read them.
Thank you, Joe. I'll be using them next week. That's awesome.
Joe, God bless you.
Winner.
Sorry, I just
thought
take
the rest of the day off, Joe.
I wanted to be a newsbreaker. Call me Cancorns.
You did. Oh.
Sorry, back to
programming.
We've moved on to Thursday. We've moved off Thursday, Adelaide Tigers. We're on to Mott versus Newton Hopkins on Friday night, which is Bombers.
How are you feeling?
We're all playing each other.
Oh, yeah, it's the Chicks Talking Footy games.
I don't know. It's just going along what Beck said about having all these buys and stuff. Feels so long ago that the Bombers played. I think we're going to smash them, though.
Yeah, I think you will too.
No, I don't.
No, I really do.
Look, if we get our forwards playing, if Stringer comes back and plays, if Shield plays, I don't know.
I've got a question. Floating Breeze is not happy with this fixture, by the way.
Shocking.
Why is Adelaide and Richmond Thursday night after having you played Saturday? Richmond played Friday, and these two teams, Essendon and Hawthorn, have come off the bye. Why are they not Thursday?
Oh, I thought Floating Breezer would have liked the Crows and Richmond because it'll be a good game.
No, Richmond could have used an extra day's break.
Floating Breezer is hard to pick.
She is. Go on a holiday, Floating Breezer. Oh, you are.
I will. Woo. I am.
Lucky you.
Yes.
Okay, let's whiz through the rest. Suns v Saints. Saints are working towards something, maybe. I don't know if it's this week, though.
To be honest, there couldn't be a game I care less about, but I'm going to go for the Saints.
Yeah, I'm having a massage at 1:45. So
you'll be busy.
Busy.
Oh, I wasn't, but when I saw what time that game was on, I thought I'll book one.
Sorry, there is a game I could care less about. It's Fremantle playing Port.
Oh, go Dockers. I quite like the Dockers.
Well, that's a battle of two docks, really, isn't it?
Mm.
Carlton versus Doggies.
Well, this will be good.
Saturday night match.
Yes.
I want Carlton to win.
Yeah, I want Carlton to win too.
I nearly faint when I have those thoughts.
Yeah.
But I sort of had that thought as well. Thought, I can't believe an Essendon person saying that, but
that could be on a roll.
Maybe it's a David Teague, Patrick Cripps vote. It's not for not for the club.
No.
Don't get ahead of yourself, Carlton. I'm not voting for you.
Voting.
Barracking.
Mm. Tipping.
The last game, North v Giants. Obviously, I'm going for Giants because I'll lose a lot of money if North make the finals. But it's the battle of the Shaw brothers.
Yes.
Reece coaching v Heath playing.
I want North Melbourne to win.
I love Reece. I'm a bit different. I'm a bit quirky, says. I love him.
I like Heath as well.
I might go to that. Should we go?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
No, that's in Tassie.
Oh. No, well, we probably won't.
You'll be a bit late.
Anyway, team, that's it for another sparkling
It's been a show.
Chicks Talking Footy. How much fun have we had? Thank you, Tom. Thank you, team. Next up is Local Roots, and you can catch us next week at this time.
Go Tigers.
Go Crows.